WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
That's right. Welcome back. This is part two of our doubleheader here, political forum here on Monday Night Talk with our own Kevin Tachi, the host, who just took my cough drop, but that's okay. That's part of the news budget. I'm Christine James, your moderator. And now next up is the race for the 6th Plymouth District. This is Pembroke, Hanson, and I believe precincts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Duxbury. Also asking questions with me is our own Charles Matheson here of WATD. Now, the format is the same. We always keep the same format. We've asked the candidates to prepare opening statements that can be as short as they want, but no longer than 2 minutes. And we pulled the names out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie just before we started. Vince Cogliano, who is the Republican challenger, will go first, and then the Democrat and incumbent Josh Cutler will go second. We reverse that order when we do closing statements. And then we have a round of questions in between the opening and closing statements, including the famous lightning round, where the answer is either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops, which everybody seems to have a problem with, but hey, that's why they're running for office. Good. All right, if you'd really talk too much, you get this. That's the bell. But Amy Vanna, as we call her, is timing there in the corner. Now, we appreciate you standing by. We ran a few minutes late over the other forum tonight, but we always try to get everybody in here and have a good sampling of what the issues are in your district and where you stand on those issues. So let's get right to it. Let's begin tonight with our opening statements. First up is Vince Cogliano.
Hi, my name is Vince Cogliano. I grew up in Pembroke, went to Pembroke schools, later went to college on the GI Bill after serving in the military. I served for 6 years as a Pembroke selectman, where I was a founding member of the committee that negotiated for and helped form an autonomous school system. As a businessman, I started several companies, including one that was named Defense Department Contractor of the Year in 1989. I'm proud to be endorsed by Plymouth County Sheriff Joseph McDonald Jr., District Attorney Tim Cruz, as well as Representative Jeff Deal, who led the successful Tank the Gas Tax effort. I'm also honored to have the endorsement of Governor Charlie Baker, a man I respect and admire. This election is about change. People are frustrated and they're angry. They feel let down. Voters know the system is rigged against them. On Beacon Hill, the fix is in for every bill. Leadership decides what gets voted on and how legislators should vote, and they vote the way they're told. My opponent is a perfect example of what's wrong on Beacon Hill. Mr. Cutler votes with the Speaker 99% of the time. When faced with a tough decision, he votes both ways. He voted against the gas tax until it counted, then he voted for it. It took a ballot initiative to stop them. It took a vote of the people to bring change. Working and middle-class taxpayers are struggling to keep afloat, and every year we're asked to pay more and more into a system that gives us less and less back for our schools, public safety, and municipal government. We want our money back. We don't want it spent on pet projects, patronage, and pork. We want our money back. We want it back where it belongs, at the local level, where we can put it to work, improving our schools, making us safer, and improving our quality of life. If you're fed up with the status quo and want someone who will fight for you on Beacon Hill, I ask for your support on November 8th.
Thank you. That was Vince Cogliano, his opening statement. Now we're going to go to Josh Cutler. He is the incumbent Democrat in the seat for the 6th Plymouth District. Josh?
Well, great. Good evening, folks. I'm Josh Cutler. I'm proud to be the state representative currently for the 6th Plymouth District, which is Pembroke, Duxbury, and Hanson. Thank you, WATD, for hosting this forum tonight. And thank you, Vince, for your service to our country and for your service to the town of Pembroke and for running a gentlemanly campaign. It's having an opposition makes us all better candidates. So I grew up here on the South Shore. I've lived here for most of my life. I have two young children going to school here. I care very much about the quality of life here on the South Shore and want to make sure that we continue to be a great place to live, work, and raise a family. It's watching the news these days and seeing all the divisiveness in the national scene. It can be easy to get frustrated with government. But my message tonight is a simple one. Here at the state level, government is working. We have divided government. We have a Republican in the corner office, and we have a legislature controlled by the Democrats. And yet, in contrast to Washington, D.C., we see consensus, cooperation, and bipartisanship. We're getting things done. We're passing major legislation. I'm proud to have played a role in a number of key issues that have had a direct impact on improving the quality of life of many of those folks who are listening tonight. If you have a kid who goes to school in any of our three towns, if you live near a pond, if you visit the local senior center, if you suffer from Lyme disease or have a student that's heading off to college soon, these are all areas where we have made great strides the past term, thanks in part to the role that I have played to improve the quality of life for residents here on the South Shore. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can look, step back and look at the fiscal climate here in Massachusetts. We have unemployment rate, one of the lowest in the nation, 3.9%, lowest since 2001. Our bond rating is the highest in state history. Our rainy day fund is almost $1.5 billion. This year, we were able to return a record amount of local aid back to our cities and towns, over $4.6 billion just in Chapter 70. So lots of great things to talk about. I'm going to run out of time, but I'm truly honored to serve as your state representative, and I'd be honored to serve another 2 years. Thank you.
It's amazing how much those construction paper sheets that you'll remember from kindergarten really work when it comes to keeping people in line with the times.
Yeah.
I know, you've got it right up there. Okay, let's begin with Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk. Questions for the candidates.
We'll start with you, Vince. Your opponent, despite being a Democrat in a conservative district, has been successful the past two elections in winning every district. What are you and your campaign going to have to do differently to be victorious in November?
Well, I think that a number of factors are working in this campaign. The first, I think, is that people don't like what's going on with government. Despite the fact that we talk about the legislature working together, people recognize, and people when I knock on doors, they know that before Charlie Baker came on the scene, this was a divided legislature. This was Republicans who tried to get anything done were shot down on every effort that they brought forward, no matter what it was, because we had a legislature that was in total control and a governor who was a Democrat. I think people are upset with that. They don't like to see it. They don't like also the fact that so many legislators talk about what they're going to do or how they're going to vote, and then they get up to Beacon Hill and they vote in a different way. They vote against the best wishes of the people in their district. And I think this district, for 100 years, was a fairly conservative district, as we'd all admit. Right now, that isn't the case. I hope to make it that way once again.
Thank you. That was Vince Cogliano. Question now for Josh Cutler.
Josh, your opponent has accused you of being a political chameleon. Basically, you tell conservative voters that you work with Republicans regularly, while telling Democrats that you support your support is with them. How do you respond to those claims? His opening statement, he basically said the same thing, that you vote you need to.
I'm glad, and I'm going to take it as a compliment, because to me what that says is I'm able to work with people, and I'm able to get things done, and it's true. I do work well across the aisle. I'm just thinking of a number of things that we've sponsored, working with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. Representative Muratori is co-sponsoring legislation about senior tax credits. Representative Howitt to help senior citizens with property tax reduction. Senator DiMacedo with a county stabilization fund, a commission for redistricting decommissioning Pilgrim nuclear power plant. So there's a lot of cases where I've been willing to cross the aisle. And, you know, frankly, at this local level, it shouldn't be about parties and stuff. It's really about local things, getting local things done, representing the district. I don't tell people that you should vote for me just because I'm a Democrat. I hope people wouldn't vote against me because of that either. I think you should vote for me because I've done the job. I've been effective. I've been accessible. I've worked hard. I haven't missed a single vote since I've been up there. And I've shown that I can get things done. And I think the ability to work with people, the ability to work across the aisle is very important to this job. That's what I'm very proud of, so I'm actually glad to highlight that. And listen, I think, you know, we've done some really good things the last 2 years. There's still more work to be done, no doubt about it, but we've got some really good accomplishments we can be proud of.
Okay. Questions for the candidates. Charles Mathewson.
I'm going to jump off my compadre's question here, and Vince, I'll start with you. This interloper here beside you from Duxbury won every precinct in your hometown of Pembroke. This election year, lawn signs in Pembroke refer to you simply as Vince. In the other towns, it's Vince Cogliano. Why should people in the 934 telephone exchange prefer you to this Duxbury homeboy?
Well, Charles,
that's my first time being called a homeboy. Sorry to interrupt.
We're down with that. Sorry.
I'm not sure. It's very difficult. I'm not well known in Duxbury, as you know. Okay, and my signs in Duxbury, though what few there might be, will say vote Vince as well. Some will say Vince Cogliano as well. But, you know, there are a lot of Republicans in Duxbury. There are a lot of independents who don't think we have had enough change and who are fed up with what's happening on Beacon Hill. In Pembroke, I have a reputation. I have a reputation of accomplishment. I have a record. I have an enormous amount of people that when I knock on doors, they know me, they know who I am, they know what I did as a selectman, they know that I'm honest, I have integrity, and I vote my conscience. They know that. So in Pembroke, I have a lot of people. I get to the door and they say, Vince, I know who you are, I'm voting for you. So Pembroke is the key town, as you well know. Duxbury and Hanson are different. The factors that go into winning in Duxbury and Hanson are going to be different for me because I'm not as well known. But I am knocking on doors. I've knocked on thousands of doors, and I've talked to a lot of people, and I'm getting good support.
Okay.
Can I just jump in? Can Homeboy jump in?
Was Charlie going to ask you the same question you're going to ask?
Well, what are you doing in Pembroke?
Sure.
I remember your victory party at the soon-to-be reopened restaurant
on
the lake.
Yes, yeah. Right. We're looking forward to that. Yeah. Well, so thank you for. I've never been referred to as a homeboy, so thank you. That's a first. But on a more serious note, I represent all three towns. I look at it like my children. I love each of my children differently, but I love them all the same. And each of my three towns have somewhat different needs, but I work just as hard for all three of them. I've grown up in Duxbury. My mom lives over in Pembroke. My business is in Hanson. I spend a ton of time in all three towns, and I think it's very important that you don't take any town for granted, and I certainly don't. I don't take a single vote for granted, regardless of what town it's in.
Okay.
Kevin Tauchi, question for the candidates?
Oh, sure. I thought you were going to jump in there. I wasn't sure. The dry summer became a concern for residents in the district as a severe drought caused further issues for local ponds and the regional water supply at Silver Lake. The growing consensus among South Shore lawmakers is that the city of Brockton, who manages Silver Lake, should relinquish control and instead hook up to MWRA. Where do you stand on this issue, and what further needs to be done?
Let's start with Josh.
All right. Well, thank you, because that's an issue that I'm very strongly passionate about, and we've done a lot of great work with. And first, I want to send kudos to my colleague, Representative Tom Calder from Kingston, who's really taken the leadership role in this. So there's a lot to unpack here, but the short issue is that Brockton is diverting water from Furnace Pond and from Westmont Ponds at Pond, and that is causing significant issues in Silver Lake and also in Furnace and Westmont Ponds and Pond and throughout our watershed, even down to the Jones River. We need to find a solution that's going to work for Brockton, because we obviously can't just shut off their water supply, but we need to find a solution that's going to work for us. So we've been working really hard on this. Over the past, I would say, 3 years, we've made more progress on this issue than has been made in the last several decades. Number one, reestablishing the Central Plymouth County Water District, which is now a functioning body that's meeting regularly. It wasn't before. Getting them funding, which Representative Calder and I and others have done. Getting the DEP involved. Representative Calder and I, again, working with the DEP, have filed a request for an administrative consent order, which is a way for them to take action. I'm getting the yellow card, so don't have a lot of time left, but there's a lot of work that's to be done. We just did a major forum about this in Halifax, and we're working very hard and making some serious progress.
Thank you.
Same question.
This issue goes back to when I was a selectman. We were fighting this whole problem then, and we objected to the fact that Brockton was taking our water and selling it and making a profit, which I just don't think it's a good idea today. I think Brockton over the years has tried a lot of different things. None of them have worked. They really don't seem to have a real will to solve their water problems. And any effort that we take to make them take it seriously, stop selling our water, maybe they should be part of the MWRA. But they're not doing a very effective job of managing the resources they're taking from our towns. And it's most noticeable in a year like this, when all you have to do is drive by any of our lakes and see how low the water level is. So this is something that does deserve our attention. We need to work on it. We need to do a better job of getting them to pay attention to the problem. They've looked at desalinization over the years. They've looked at so many things, and nothing has ever panned out for them. They need to get serious about it. Putting any kind of pressure we can will help.
Thank you.
If we could just ask a quick follow-up, and that is that they have a number of representatives and the state senator that I think will, I don't know where Mike Brady and the three representatives stand, but could there be some kind of a political standoff if there is a push by some of the South Shore lawmakers to get them to get Brockton to move towards NWRA? Are you expecting some kind of a fight in the House?
May I address that? Yeah, thank you. And I think I don't think there will be one. I think this is comes back to this sort of central question. I think that, you know, respect among your colleagues is important, and I think, you know, I've earned the respect of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and we're not going to put Brockton in a position where we're going to shut down their water. We have to find a solution that's going to work for Brockton and for our towns. We're making progress. MWRA, looking at that option, is one thing that has to be on the table. The desalinization plant is already in operation. We need to look to that further. And Silver Lake is always going to be supplying water to Brockton, but it can't be diverting from Furnace and from Westmont Ponce. That's the real issue. So we're making significant progress. I don't think we can dictate terms. I don't think that's not the way I operate. That's the reason I've been able to be effective, is because I have built up the relationships with Senator Brady and other people on both sides of the aisle. We're going to work together. And Senator Brady has done a terrific job working with us and trying to represent both Brockton and our Hanson and Pembroke and other communities that are impacted by this.
Vince, do you see a political fight in the House in regards to...
No, not after all these years. I think everyone is really at the point where they know a solution has to be achieved and something that's workable. But the solution, excuse me, the solution will come in, what, another 40 years? Because the wells in Brockton are expected to be clean in about 40 years from now.
I thought you were going to say that the desal plant would be able to put out more than five million gallons a day.
No, when they poisoned their water system, they said it would take 90 years for them to come back.
I think, you know, we've made a lot of progress in the last 2 years, and I certainly would not be that patient to wait that long.
Question, Charles Mathewson?
I had a question on this, but, you know, Kevin had to hog all the water. So we'll move on to Pembroke Selectman recently turned down a proposal for a medical marijuana facility in that town, saying it would counteract efforts to ease the opiate epidemic. First, do you agree with the decision? And second, how does medical marijuana relate to heroin addiction? Vince, these were your former compatriots.
Well, I agree with what they did, to be honest with you. Any town that can avoid having a medical marijuana dispensary in their town should do it. There's one in Plymouth that's close enough for people to get to. As the sheriff and the DA both say, it's one of those things people say, is marijuana a gateway drug? Maybe, maybe not. But they've never seen anyone who is taking heroin that didn't take marijuana. As anecdotal as that might be, that's the way it is. The other thing that we really need to guard against is, in so many other states, these medical marijuana facilities have been inundated with prescriptions from unscrupulous doctors prescribing marijuana for people who don't really need it but want it. And they make money on it, and the person gets the drugs. And we really need to have oversight for that. There are legitimate needs for people with cancer and some other diseases that truly need medical marijuana. But we need to stay on top of it because it's really wide open for abuse. But as far as Pembroke, I don't want one in Pembroke. I don't know anyone who does.
Okay, same question for John.
Same sure. Question. So I think one of the good things about that law is that there is a local control there, and I think that was very appropriately exercised, and I support the selectmen and their decision. I think it's important to contrast medical marijuana, which overall I support, with the legalization of commercial recreational marijuana, which may be one of your lightning round questions. I apologize if I just stole it, but I think, you know, I have very serious concerns with that. I don't think it's a good idea for the state. I helped lead a caucus up at the State House back in the fall to draw attention to this issue. There's a lot of issues with the edibles, with the lower revenue, the THC being much stronger. So there's a lot of issues with the legalization that I'm concerned about, and I would hope that that does not pass.
I have to disagree with you, Vince, about there's never been an instance of someone going becoming a heroin addict that didn't first use marijuana. Yeah, actually, the gateway is synthetic opiates. I've done a lot of work on this. Do you still think that marijuana is the gateway to heroin?
It's not necessarily a gateway for everyone, but what I pointed out to you was that the sheriff and the DA said that all the people they deal with who are on heroin, when they talk to them, they all have used marijuana. Whether it's a gateway or not, okay, and everyone can have their opinion on that, adding something to an already area that is profoundly affected by the opioid crisis is simply, you know, it's just not desirable to have a recreational marijuana be passed. And we need to really regulate and oversee these medical dispensaries because, as I said before, it's wide open for abuse.
Josh?
If I could just jump in, I agree with Vince on this. You know, just a quick anecdote, there was something called the Drug Story Theater, which you guys have done a great job covering, which is something we got money in the budget for, along with Representative Cantwell and my colleagues. And they had a performance at Duxbury High School that I attended, and I was struck by this. After the performance was over with, there was eight young people, all in their early 20s, late teens. And afterwards, we had a chance to do Q&A, and I stood up and asked them, how did they, and they're all in recovery, okay? They're all in different stages of recovery. And I asked them, how did you get your start? And seven out of the eight said they started with marijuana, and the eighth was alcohol. So I don't think everyone who uses marijuana becomes a heroin addict, absolutely not. But a significant portion of people who do become opiate addicts did start with marijuana. And I think we get hung up on this word gateway, and that's really not that useful part of the dialogue. It's a concern. I think we really need to address it, and this is the wrong step for Massachusetts.
Okay. Let's talk about small business. Small business drives the economy. A lot of small businesses here on the South Shore. Let's start with Vince. What do you think needs to be done more to help small businesses here on the South Shore? Like two key things that aren't being done that you think need to be done.
Well, as someone who has started three small businesses, I know how difficult it is to get in business in Massachusetts and stay in business. It's not easy. I think we've already taken a big step in helping business that wasn't being done. We have Charlie Baker as our governor. As a small businessman, one of the things that used to bother me is that with the democratically controlled legislature and a Democrat governor, I knew they were going to pass a lot of bills having to do with business, and I knew none of them would help my business, ever. With Charlie Baker, it's an attitude that people believe he's on their side. If you have confidence in government that they're not going to be coming after you all the time as a small businessman, you'll be encouraged to grow. So having Charlie Baker, that's one thing. Having a Republican who supports business, having a legislature that supports business, that helps. Second, it's regulations. Getting rid of a lot of regulations. This legislature wants to regulate everything from licensing to, you know, if you want to give someone a haircut, to so many things. So having confidence in the business environment and getting rid of some regulations.
Okay, thank you. That was Vince. Now, Josh, what do you think? Small business, what have you done to help?
Sure, no, thank you. And I have a lengthy experience in small businesses as well, and I run a small business in Hanson right now that's employing people and contributing to the economy. So keeping out an eye for the concerns of small business has always been a priority of mine. I think if you look at the underlying factors of our economy, actually, we're doing a lot of good things, but two things that I'll mention that we did as a legislature is, number one, we froze unemployment insurance rates, which is a big concern if you think back a couple years ago. That removes uncertainty, which many small businesses were facing, so we fixed that. We have access to capital. Getting loans, getting funding is a big issue for small businesses. We did something called the Small Business Banking Partnership to leverage the retirement funds to put them into the hands of small community banks if they in turn agree to lend to creditworthy small businesses. That is in place. That is working. I can just cite one bank, Rockland Trust, not to pick on anybody, but has already made more than 426 loans to 211 small businesses in the South Shore. So those are two specific things that we have done to improve the small business climate here in Massachusetts. And there's obviously many more, and I'm getting the darn yellow card again, so I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
I'm going to go with Vince. Vince, you noted on your website that if elected, you'd provide communities more funding for public safety and education, but not by raising taxes or using Prop 2.5 overrides. How can you best lead such an effort without raising taxes or limited support in the House?
Well, the fact of the matter is that we don't have a problem in Massachusetts other than prioritizing the spending we do. I mean, look at the budget process here we just went through. The governor tried to cut the budget to put something together what he thought was realistic because he didn't believe in the revenue forecasts that were coming forward. Instead, the legislature restored a lot of the money back into the budget. In the first 2 months of the year, projections for the budget are short by over $30 million. So now we have a situation, and everyone knows, if you're making $2,500 a month at home and you make a budget out that you want to spend $5,000 a month, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And every year you can project revenues, and when they fall short, you have to take steps to cut. Now the legislature is taking some steps, but the Baker administration has been forced to take a lot of steps to try to solve this problem and not be blamed for it, and it could have been solved by just budgeting properly in the first place and listening to Governor Baker.
Thank you. Spence,
may I jump in?
Yeah, you can jump in.
So two quick things. One is the budget that the House passed, that it's now law, the final budget, after restoring all the vetoes and so forth, is $400 million less than what Governor Baker filed in January of that year. So I think that speaks to being a fiscally responsible budget. But the original question, I would talk about the issue of Chapter 70, which is how we fund our schools and send local aid back to our schools. I helped to lead a coalition, a bipartisan coalition of 70 lawmakers to increase what's called the minimum per pupil expenditure, which is a fancy term for just saying how much money we send back to our schools, that directly helped every single suburban town in this area. It more than doubled from $25 per pupil to $55 per pupil. That's bringing back $130,000 extra for Wibben Hansen, $108,000 for Pembroke, $108,000 for Duxbury, and many other school districts around the state. So I'm very proud of that. We did it in a bipartisan way, we did it without raising taxes, and we did it by being the squeaky wheel and making our pitch, and it worked.
Follow-up question. Okay. Do you see a need for raising taxes in the next 2 years? Quick 30 seconds.
No, I do not.
Well, no, I don't, but you voted for the 4%, the millionaire's tax, right?
No, actually, that's not quite accurate, Vince. The millionaire's tax is a ballot question that's going to go on the ballot in 2018.
But you voted to put it on the ballot.
My turn?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I voted to put on the ballot, yeah, and I'm going to do it again in 2018. My position is the same as Governor Baker, who signed the ballot question to put on the ballot. I think his view and my view is let the people vote. That's my view.
But you're not in favor of passing it? You're against it passing?
I'm in favor of letting the people vote on it. I think this is a discussion we can have in 2018. I'm certainly keeping an open eye about it.
Okay. You talk about affecting small business. Okay. That puts an 80% increase in taxes on small business. Also, the money in that question doesn't have to go to education, as they say it does. It can go to anything in the general fund. It has to be allocated every year.
Why don't we get into this more when you have a chance to formally ask each other questions, even though you're asking each other questions. That's okay. Let's go to Charles Mathewson. Question for the candidates.
Another education-related question. on the ballot question, too, authorizes approval of 12 new charter schools. Do you support it or not, Vince?
Yes, I do support that. I think that children deserve choice. Parents deserve choice. You know, these are public charter schools. They follow all the rules. They've been very successful in our state. They've been probably more successful than most other states. And they're targeted, this increase is targeted to communities where the children are at most risk, where they really need a chance, and education provides that chance. We can't abandon them, and I think we need to pass this.
Joshua.
Sure, thank you. So I think it's important to distinguish charter schools from the ballot question, because there are plenty of good charter schools out there. I spent a lot of time at the South Shore Charter School, especially when it was back in Hull, and there are plenty of other good charter schools around the state. The ballot question is a much different animal. Okay, this is going to be a significant departure from current law. It's going to authorize 12 up to 12 new charters every year. And my two concerns is, number one, is there's no local accountability. There's no school committee that gets to have an input. Voters in those towns don't get to decide. And the funding that's lost, okay, Duxbury Law is losing about $164,000 a year, Pembroke $280,000 a year, and Wibben Hansen $250,000 a year in losing money out of district for charter schools. So I think what we need to do is vote no on this, come back to the legislature and come up with a more scaled back law that is achieving the goal here, but doesn't do it in such a drastic way.
Any follow-up?
Nope.
Okay.
You.
I want to go to lightning round, so let's begin now with Kevin Tachi. Lightning round question for the candidates. And again, that's a yes or no answer or two sentences tops. Lightning round question for the candidates. Kevin.
If a bill was ever proposed to reinstate the death penalty, would you support such legislation? You can either give yes or no or one to two sentences if needed.
And let's start with Josh.
No.
Okay. Vince?
No.
Okay. Charles Mathewson?
When driving, do you shout at people who don't pull over for an ambulance?
Vince, do you shout at people who don't pull over for an ambulance?
No, I don't.
Okay. Josh, do you shout at people?
All right. Full disclosure, I probably have.
Okay. So have I. God help us.
Okay, I'll just pop this one up right here. Plymouth County government, for it or against it? Two sentences.
Christine.
That's his impersonation of Dan Pallotta, who I know is listening. Uh-huh. All right, what do you think, Josh Cutler?
Absolutely for it. We've done some great things with county government the past 2 years, regional solutions. I know I have two sentences, but yes, absolutely.
Okay, two sentences. Time
Sorry, Dan, not for it.
Okay. Let's go to Kevin Tachi.
For or against the Massachusetts Trust Act? Yes or no, or one to two sentences if needed.
Okay, let's start with the... Let's start with Vince's time. Okay, Charles.
What most recently amazed you, Josh?
What most recently amazed me?
Is this the dating game?
Wow.
Contestant number three.
You know, it's fine. I was just doing a little thing with Cub Scouts over at the Pembroke Library, and they asked me some really tough questions, and I thought, oh, these are going to be tougher than I get tonight, but actually, you just stumped me. What has recently amazed me?
That's my point.
Yeah. I would say, I hate to get into it, but the national political presidential race has amazed me in not good ways.
Okay. Question. Is that the same question for Vince Cagliano?
The Patriots going 3-1 without Tom Brady.
Oh, that's a better answer. Kudos to Vince for that one.
Lightning round, Kevin.
Confidence in the state's current economy or lack of confidence?
Yes or no? Let's start with Josh.
I think we're, confidence.
Okay. Vince.
I think the numbers that are coming out do not count all of the people who have given up. I say the economy has a long way to go.
Okay. Dr. Mathewson, questions for our contestants here.
Which of the following do you use? A driver's license, a firearms license, or poetic license? Any of the three.
Let's start with Vince Cagliano.
Poetic license.
Okay.
So that's more fun.
Okay.
Josh?
I have all three.
Thank you.
Kevin, another lightning round question.
I'm going to do my best, Charles Mathewson. Favorite bad habit?
Let's start with Josh.
Oh, my gosh.
And again, no phony answers. No,
I work too hard. Yeah,
I hate that. It's not a job interview.
Oh, my gosh. I drink, maybe this won't count. I drink too much coffee. I drink way too much coffee. Does that count?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Cookies. I spend all the time saying I'm going to cut down on the cookies, and then I go by the aisle and Oreos are staring me in the face.
It's part of the campaign. It's tough to say no to the cookies.
Do people do this? I guess. They have all those coffees for you guys, and it's not.
I don't drink coffee, but they offer water.
Okay. That's not too bad. Charles Mathewson, question.
Let's start with Josh. A societal norm, something to respect or improve.
Are societal norms something to respect or to improve?
Yes.
It depends what the societal norm is. Some of them are. Some of them are not.
Which would you improve?
Well, I think civil discourse I would improve, and I try to emulate that in my own life.
Okay. Vince, Cagliano?
Say the question again.
Are societal norms something to respect or improve?
Societal norms are in constant flux.
Yes.
I think they could stand improvement.
Okay. Let's go to our part of the evening, and of course, this is a political forum here, the 6th Plymouth District. We've got Josh Cutler, who's the incumbent Democrat, and his challenger, Vince Cagliano, Republican from Pembroke. Now, let's go to the part of the evening where we give you folks a chance to ask each other a question. Josh, do you have a question for Vince?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Vince. It's been an enjoyable time. Appreciate it. One of the things I think we may have a difference of opinion is on the issue of Lyme disease, which is a concern that I've had and been working on trying to get broader insurance company coverage. And I noticed that you seem to not be in agreement with me on that, and I would like to hear your views on that.
Well, I just agree with the governor's position on that. He didn't disagree, and nor do I, that we need something along those lines. Where we have so many deer, a lot of them are not healthy. They carry the disease, and lots of people get Lyme disease. There's been inroads made on treatment, but certainly we need it. I just don't agree that we open the door without some controls to make it as long as someone wants it. I think the governor was sensible in just saying the legislature went too far. And that goes for a lot. In Massachusetts, most states, the legislature adds about 2 points to the cost of health care by adding things like that on. In Massachusetts, it's 10%, and maybe that accounts for the highest health care cost in America.
Okay. Now, Vince, do you have a question for Josh?
Yeah, I have one that actually someone else brought up to me who asked, why is it, you're still associated with the Duxbury newspaper, why is it that your voting record doesn't appear there anymore? Is that something that we should be concerned about? Is that something you're not proud of? Or something that you don't want people to know? Or can you tell them to start putting it back in so voters know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think you might be misinformed. It's never been in there. And I'm very proud of my voting record. I was proud, actually, today just to have it announced that I have not missed a single roll call vote since I've been elected. I have a 100% voting record, 1,053, I believe, or 64 consecutive roll calls. So I'm very proud of that. And I posted about it on Facebook today. So certainly not hiding from it.
Okay. All right, let's go to our closing statements now for both the candidates, and we're going to reverse the order that we went in from the beginning. We started with Vince and then went to Josh for the opening statements. So for your closing statements, we'll go to Josh and then we'll go to Vince. And again, 2-minute limit, can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes. Josh Cutler.
All right, great. Thank you again so much, guys. This has been an enjoyable and I hope informative debate for the folks at home. Again, my name is Josh Cutler. I'm very proud to be the state representative representing Pembroke, Duxbury, and Hanson. This is my second term. I'd be honored to have you send me back for a third term. Again, my focus really is not so much on the partisanship, it's on problem solving. And I think we've made some real great strides this term. I tried to mention some of the things during our debate about Chapter 70, getting funding for cleaning up our ponds, increasing funding for our local senior centers, trying for the first time allowing parents to deduct the cost of college savings on their tax returns. So we've made some significant progress in a number of areas, opiates, trying to continue to tackle that. And I think the message I just want to leave people with, because there's a lot of material out there, is that we're able to get things done. Government is working here in Massachusetts, and it's because we are acting in a bipartisan way, in cooperation, consensus, and we're getting things done by working across the aisle. And I hope that that's what will happen in Washington, D.C. But regardless, here in Massachusetts, we're making some great strides, and we have a lot that we should be proud of. So, again, I'm honored to serve here. If folks want to reach out to me, I would encourage you to check out my website at joshcutler.com. There's a lot more information there, more than we're able to get to tonight. And if people need help, one of the roles, we didn't talk about it a lot, is constituent service. You know, I'm there for people. One of the biggest parts of my job is helping people who call, and whatever problem they have is the most important thing to them, and I try to make it the most important thing to me. So if people need to reach me, I'm going to give out my cell phone number here. It's 781-343-1985. Again, it's 781-343-1985. Just wait till the debate's over to call. If you need help, I'm here. I'm here to help. I'd be honored to earn your vote on November 8th, and thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Josh Cutler. Now let's go to Vince Cogliano. Your closing statement.
I want to thank WATD and all of you folks for hosting this debate. In talking with a lot of voters, this election is about three things: change, change, change. People are sick and tired of being told one thing, only to learn that their representative voted a different way, hoping no one would find out. The endorsements by Governor Charlie Baker, Plymouth County Sheriff Joseph McDonald Jr., District Attorney Tim Cruz, and Representative Jeff Giel show the faith these people have in me that I will need and not just go along to get along. The agenda of the left on Beacon Hill includes massive tax increases on families, refusing to fund the governor's efforts to fight the opioid epidemic, no transparency as they hide their votes from the public, no ethics reform because they want to protect themselves from scrutiny, blocking much-needed changes at the MBTA, obstructing school choice by not supporting public charter schools that help all students, not standing up for families as they pass bills that put our children at risk, and the list goes on and on. How you vote in this election is very important. Governor Baker and his administration is the reason for the cooperation on Beacon Hill now. It wasn't a cooperative atmosphere before he came in. It is now because of him. He needs people who will truly support him, not just when he's in office, but to support his ideals and the things he wants accomplished. Voters are not happy. They want change. And I ask you for your vote November 8th.
Thank you very much. That was Vince Cogliano. You've been listening to a WATD political forum here. And that was Vince Cogliano and Josh Cutler, the candidates for the 6th Plymouth District. And that is Pembroke, Hanson, and precincts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in Duxbury. And of course, WATD will bring you complete election coverage on election night, which is Tuesday, November 8th. And of course, you can also listen online here to WATD. We're going to go on the air on the 8th at 7 o'clock, our pregame show. Listen online. You can also listen online to this forum as well, 959WATD.com. Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk, has been asking questions along with our own Charles Mathewson and our own Amy here from WATD. Has been the wonderful timekeeper tonight. You guys good candidates, good answers, good feedback. We love it here that people run for office. We know it's a tough thing to do. And remember, as we tell everybody every time, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. So we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Go out there and vote on Election Day. We'll be back here every Monday night in the month of October, back-to-back forums. Check out the WATD website and catch the complete schedule. You're listening to 95.9 WATD. And what about you, Kevin Tachi? You've got a few minutes here.
Drew's just got a couple of moments. Just to remind folks, again, the month of October, find out some of the races. Go to 959WATD.com. Find out some of the forums that we are going to you get to hear probably a couple of the best forums so far. And, of course, what will happen on that night, November 8th, you will play some cuts from these forums. So if you miss anything, they'll be up on the website, but we'll remind you again as you're heading out there, you're standing in line to vote. That's what Monday Night Talk, that's what WATD does best, is try to inform the voters out there before they head out to the polls and vote for one of these folks who come in here who are out there knocking on doors and putting up signs and trying to get the word out about their campaigns. That's what's important. So we'll do this all again next week at 6:15 p.m. right here on Monday Night Talk. So please stay tuned.